This is Logan Sekulow. Election 2024 heats up as Donald Trump takes brand new swipes at Governor Ron DeSantis.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow. This is Logan Sekulow. Join me in studio is executive producer of Sekulow, Will Haynes, as we sit in for my dad and my brother, who will be back later on. But today, we're talking about some brand new stuff that's happening. I don't know if you've been following this, but election 2024 has already started to heat up, including events happening just this weekend and just yesterday. From President Trump, who's officially running, you have people who are sort of on the unofficial list, who are making appearances, showing up in Iowa, as you do casually if you're the Florida governor, or as you do if you're Tim Scott or some of these other names.
Right.
You just show up in Iowa. No reason. I'm here just to hang out, meet people. Obviously, a lot of names are being thrown around right now. Nikki Haley, other people. But you have President Trump making his sort of, he's kind of back to making his big rallies and appearances. Last night, I know they were going to have it at sort of this big open air facility, but he said it's a little too cold. It's cold.
I've seen it on the news. It looks pretty cold out there.
So they held it, I believe, in an arena. But this even happened before then. Obviously, Trump's number one competitor right now, and I think we have some of the polls we could probably find later on in the show, is Governor Ron DeSantis of the state of Florida. So much so that it's already started to polarize this conversation, almost like there is no other option. There is Governor Ron DeSantis, and there's former President Donald Trump. And as we know, DeSantis has not officially run, or is not officially running yet. Everyone kind of assumes he will.
Well, when you're making multiple stops in Iowa on Friday, it's not just a book tour anymore, which has been kind of the guise that he's been able to fall under because he released his book. But when you're doing multiple stops and meeting with people that are even political leaders in Iowa as well, you know that this is the building the framework, the foundation for a campaign, especially since Iowa is one of the first states. I think it's February 4th is the Iowa caucus. Yeah. February 5th of 2024 is the Iowa caucus. So under a year.
Under a year, 11 months away. We know we're only about 6 months away from the first debate for the Republican primary. So that will happen in August. So we know that's coming. So we know the jabs are going to start flying. And they did, again, this is from Donald Trump, from a campaign video I believe he put out, or some sort of video that he put out over just, yesterday?
Yesterday,
he put this out, really taking direct aim at Governor Ron DeSantis, maybe more so than ever, not like a little jab here and there, but really kind of questioning his leadership. And not without, oddly, praising people like Charlie Crist, which is an odd move. If you are from the state of Florida or you know the state of Florida well, you know these were governors of the past. Some had positives, some had negatives. But when you start trying to pull out the fact that Ron DeSantis has been a good leader for the area, that I feel like could crumble very quickly. But let's hear from Donald Trump, and then I want your thoughts. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. How do you feel about the infighting already beginning between your two presumptive leaders, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis? Let's hear from Donald Trump.
For those of you that didn't notice, Florida was doing great long before Ron DeSantis got there. People are fleeing from New York to Florida and other places because of high taxes and out of control crime. It's really bad. Not because of the governor. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing that. But it's not because of the governor. Florida was doing fantastically. You had a governor named Rick Scott who did a very good job. Even Charlie Crist, a Democrat, did a good job, and he had very good numbers. Sunshine and ocean are very alluring. It's not too hard to work with those factors. So just remember, Florida was doing really well long before Ron DeSantis got there.
Is this what you want? This early, do you want this sort of attacks being thrown saying, look, even Charlie Crist, a Democrat, was doing a good job way before Ron DeSantis showed up? It's all about sunshine and ocean. It is what it is. Typical kind of Trump rhetoric coming out, but from, again, one of the most popular figures right now, Ron DeSantis, in the conservative movement, if you will, whether you like him or not. I know people support Donald Trump. I know some people support Ron DeSantis. I'm more curious, how do you feel about this kind of rhetoric this early when we are dealing with so much real crisis coming from the Biden administration? I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take those calls coming up. back to Seculo. We're talking about this, and look, the phone lines have completely lit up. I haven't seen that in a while, which means a lot of you have a lot to say about this current infighting happening, at least what feels almost like a one-way infight between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis not officially running yet. Just want to clear that up. Not officially running for president. Everyone thinks he will, but that's just the case right now. But clearly is the number one threat to Donald Trump. At this point, I would love for us to spend more time on what's actually happening, what can be done to fix some of the problems that are going on in Washington right now with the Biden administration. But instead, we've already started the infighting game. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't love it. I know it's part of politics. It's part of the whole system. But the fact that we are so far out and these attacks are starting to become more and more personal and less, I mean, almost nothing about policy, it's very odd. We have another clip, I think, from President Trump. And then once we do that, I'll take some phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So again, just to show you, this wasn't an isolated incident. If you heard the last segment, you may have heard where he specifically said, you know, Rick Scott did a good job before DeSantis, and even Charlie Crist, a Democrat, was doing good. Florida's just appealing because it's got sunshines and rainbows. You know, I know that there are a lot of people out there. I'm looking at the comments. I'll be honest. The comments on Rumble right now, a lot of you watching right now, definitely more on the Ron DeSantis side, maybe more than I was expecting.
Right.
I know that there's a large group of people who are definitely Trump loyalists, and I expected them to come out more in droves, but I think a lot of people don't like this kind of rhetoric, Will, this early, especially between the two people they like the most, potentially.
Well, and I have another bite than the one we previously talked about, which I think will hold for a little bit longer, because you mentioned that it was almost just attacks, not necessarily on policy, but President Trump has done a lot of research, and his team has done a lot of research, that there was a little dig at policy. So let's play Bite 21, then I'll explain for everyone where this very slight dig at policy came up, and it was very specific to Iowa. So let's play Bite 21.
Okay, so remember this. Ron DeSantis. Did anyone ever hear of DeSantis? The sanctimonious DeSantis. Now, Ron DeSantis strongly opposed ethanol. Do you know that? And we don't even know if he's running, but I might as well tell you. If he's not running, I'll say he was fine on ethanol. Don't worry about it.
So
what's that about?
When he was a member of Congress, there was a
DeSantis.
DeSantis, yes. He was on record in a number of votes against a lot of agriculture subsidies, including those on ethanol. Now, Iowa, the state of Iowa, gets a lot of benefit from subsidies on ethanol because of the corn production in Iowa. It's no secret that Iowa, big business when it comes to corn and by de facto ethanol as well. So he was already trying to plant seeds of, he was against your big industry here. He did things that didn't help you when he was a member of Congress. Now he's going to go around, and if he's not running, I'll just say he was fine on it. But he is already starting to plant those seeds of doubt into the people in Iowa, where Ron DeSantis, it gets stuck in your head.
Well, you're falling for it.
Where Ron DeSantis was just on Friday. So I thought that was an interesting play there, and it was a little bit more nuanced than these top line attacks that we're used to seeing.
Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. A lot of you called in. Give us a call, too. We got a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Dave in the state of California. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you guys. I just wanted to, you guys have nailed it this morning. I'm a huge Trump supporter, have been. One of my favorite presidents of all time. But I think he's going about this wrong. There's a lot of people, a lot of Republican friends of mine, and I'm a conservative Christian first. That's you know, always first.
Yeah.
I think Trump is going overboard. I'm talking to a lot of people. They're saying, he's going overboard. I don't like what he's doing now. They were big Trump supporters, big Trump voters, and now they're like, I think we're going to go to Ron DeSantis. And I don't like what he's doing to the Republican Party. I'll support him if he gets in, but I don't like what he's doing. Yeah. If he's listening, stop it. You know, let's get a fair fight and let's do this right. But quit calling people names.
Dave, I appreciate you calling. If President Trump is listening, please call in 1-800-68 or just text one of us, like someone. If you find, I'm sure you can find someone's number. We'll get you the hotline number to call in. But Dave, I appreciate it that you call in. Look, I would love to hear from the opposite. I'd love to hear from the Trump supporter who goes, no, I love this. So far, if I'm being honest, that's not really what the comments say. It's not really what the callers are saying right now. A lot of people feel like Dave does. Look, I was in California last year. I was having dinner with a guy who I would borderline consider a socialist. And he was like, if it was today, I'd vote for Ron DeSantis. because he saw what happened to his state. He saw what happened to the state of California and says, okay, during COVID, and says, I look to that and go, I don't even care about the economic and social policies right now. Right. What I care about was the fact that my state wasn't destroyed. That's where Ron DeSantis is going to have not quite the uphill battle that some of these others will have. He was very good at that. I had beef with Ron DeSantis very early on. I'm sure there's bites of me complaining because of some of the big business that got to reopen in Florida, but for small businesses. I was one of them.
Yeah, the hospitality industry almost got favor from the administration there.
I did have a problem with that. I had it put a bad taste in my mouth. However, when I now look at that, 2 years later, 3 years later, I go, yeah, think about this. In Orlando, Florida, I mean, he may hate, you know, Walt Disney World now. Walt Disney World was reopened by June or July of 2020.
Right.
Think about how long it took for the rest of the world to open up. And he had the biggest tourist destination in the country reopened because of Florida's policies.
I mean, local museums couldn't even figure out how to open.
Look, I was just in San Francisco. It's not fully reopened. Okay, and this is 2023. So I think a lot of people see that. The calls are just packed right now. So I'm going to try to take some more of them. Are there any on here I'm looking that have maybe a different... let's go to Ralph. You know what? Ralph in Louisiana, maybe he's got a different point of view. Ralph, you're on the air.
I love the show. You know, I just want to say that maybe Ron DeSantis, I know he's not running for president yet, but maybe Donald Trump would pick him for the vice president. Yeah. They have policies that are similar. So, I mean, it'd be great simply because the Democrats are destroying the United States. Maybe two guys like Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump would be great for the nation.
Yeah, Ralph, I think a lot of people feel that way. Look, Ron DeSantis ran as little Trump. I mean, he really did. There are ads where there's him putting his child in a MAGA hat and then making fun of him for just being a little Trump and him embracing that. So though I don't think you're right in that, and they look, all is fair in politics. It's not like it hasn't happened before.
Here's one issue with that currently. President Trump would have to change his state of residency now to be able to do that. Constitutionally, the president and the vice president can't be residents of the same state. Ron DeSantis is governor. He can't go ahead and change his residency unless he resigned, moved his family to become vice president.
So that's not going
to
happen.
It would have to be a huge, unprecedented thing a sitting governor resigned, moved to a different state just to become on the vice presidential ticket.
I don't even think about the fact that President Trump is a resident of Florida. I know that's why that's clearly why he made that statement as well, saying Florida was great under these other governors.
Right.
But that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. So that's not going to happen. So if your dream ticket of Trump DeSantis, sorry guys, unless something majorly changes, I don't see that happening at all. Man, still just a ton of phone calls coming in. I want to take one more at least before we go to break. Let's go to Paul, also in California. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, I agree. I don't like the mudslinging from President Trump. I'd like to see policies, especially from what Biden has done lately in his cabinet to our country. And I'm from a golden state of California, so sunshine and rainbows are here, but people are leaving in droves. It has nothing to do with it. I want to hear your policy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. I think that that's true for California. Look, we live in Tennessee. Not exactly the land of beaches and rainbows. It is beautiful here.
It's quite
here.
Frigid right now, actually.
It's freezing.
Yeah.
It was sleeting this morning. But guess what? We've had a massive explosion of people coming from where? The state of California. Why? Because of the issues there. Didn't necessarily happen. Will and I went to a Fox Nation event a few weeks ago, and it was probably 600 people there. It was for Pete Hegseth's Miseducation of America Part 2. And we're in the audience. You can find me there. See if you can spot me. Take a screenshot. Send it to me. We're there. And in it, they did a point. They said they were taking Q&A. They said, who's from California? A couple people said they're from California. Pete stopped the show and said, how many of you are from California? And I would say a third or more of the audience, maybe half the audience, stood up. It was wild to see the mass exodus that came from California. And they didn't all go to Florida. A lot did. A lot did. But not everybody.
Well, and also that event was about education. And we know that one of the biggest issues of people who did leave California over the last few years were the way that their children were being educated, not just under woke policies, but also under the COVID restrictions that kept kids out of school for way longer than the rest of the country when the scientists and things were saying that it was safe for children to be in a classroom and that the damage of not being in the classroom, how much that outweighed the risk of them being in there. So being at that education event, you also saw the passion of people that left California to protect their kids and get them a better education.
Hey, we're going to keep taking calls on this. We do have some other topics to hit. We're in the middle of a matching challenge for the ACLJ. It's not just news and politics here. We do the work. We actually go and work for you. I encourage you to go check out the work at ACLJ.org. Support our work. Again, we're in the middle of the matching challenge. All donations are effectively doubled. We have another half hour coming up even after this. So we roll for the full hour. But we have had such a response to this topic that I'm going to stick on this for a little bit longer. Then we're going to move on to some other topics later in the show. Because you guys are all calling in. You're all commenting. And I know it's important. I know it's important when you see the world kind of crumbling around you that you find hope and you don't necessarily like the infighting. But we're going to do something about it. We're going to work for you. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your calls on the DeSantis v. Trump fight that's starting to break out pretty hardcore. But we are going to be moving on for just a brief second. I don't know if you're watching. If you're watching on Rumble or YouTube or Facebook, you saw a video package that we ran during our commercial break about a win, essentially, that has happened, or at least movement that has happened in our fight against the Smithsonian. You may remember during the March for Life, there's a group of kids who were out there at the Smithsonian, at the National Archives, and they got met with some pretty angry security guards who told them to take off their pro-life beanies that literally were just blue and said pro-life in their school name. And maybe one woman was told to take off her sweatshirt.
That was at Archives, right?
At the Archives. Yep. You know, it became a all-out kind of assault on not only freedom of speech, but of course people who are pro-life. And they were definitely targeted for being pro-life. And we have a bit of an update and something that, again, we always like to present you with not only what's going on in the trouble, but also when there's hope in Washington, D.C., when there's movement in Washington, D.C., and it seems like there is some.
So this is following the victory we did have with the National Archives, where we got a consent order in that case. But similarly, with the Smithsonian case, we have a consent order, and you can put it up on the screen for the audience to see. But what it says is that there's a consent to preliminary injunction. It is hereby ordered that, pursuant Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 65A, defendants, their officers, successors in office, employees, and agents are preliminarily enjoined from prohibiting visitors to the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum from wearing hats or other clothing with messages, including religious or political speech, so long as the visitor's conduct is otherwise in compliance with Smithsonian policy, which preliminary injunction shall terminate upon the earliest of final judgment in this action, further order by this court, or January 19th, 2025. They also are ordered to distribute this consent order to all security officers. So it's a win.
Yeah.
The case isn't over.
Yeah, the case keeps going. But what they're saying is, in the meantime, they're saying, hey, we're not going to censor people from attending our facilities wearing a pro-life message or any political or religious message, which is what it should be. Everyone knows this. It should have been that way to begin with. And guess what? Legally, it probably was. But these, excluding people who are causing issues, which were not these kids. We're not the adults even that were supervising. You're talking about people that were coming from the March for Life. They were there. The biggest march on Washington about the pro-life movement. First one since Roe versus Wade overturned. And then they were like, hey, we're in Washington, D.C. We should probably, check out some sites. And they went to see the Smithsonian, went to the National Archives, and were abruptly told to not only change, but got very aggressive, got profanity-laced. And thankfully, they see the error of their ways. And because of organizations like the ACLJ, specifically us, I'll just say our organization, the ACLJ, we're able to fight against this, get it in national media, get it in front of Fox News crowd, get it all over the planet so people know how this injustice is happening and how they can fight back. And sometimes you at least win.
And what seemed to be a pattern in D.C. on this day, because we saw it at multiple agencies, we got the first clients at the Smithsonian, and then we had other clients at National Archives. But we went to action, something that would have just been brushed aside or maybe they go back home and they're upset about it. They don't know what to do, but they don't have the resources to go get a lawyer to then go back and sue. That's what the ACLJ is here for. Because of the members of the ACLJ, we are able to provide this legal aid to these students at no cost to them. and we have some of the greatest lawyers in the world, and they went immediately to work. They sued both the National Archives and the Smithsonian, and they were able to negotiate this consent order. That means that the Smithsonian was like, okay, we know that we can't let this happen again because you're suing us, so we're going to go ahead and consent. And this was presented jointly by the ACLJ and the Smithsonian to the court for the court to order and sign off on. So it is a really big win, but the Smithsonian was never going to do that if it weren't for the ACLJ lawyers going to work.
No, what they were hoping was that they kicked these kids out and no one ever said anything. These kids go home sad and they have a story to tell about how they got kicked out of the Smithsonian, but that's not what we do here. For no cost, we took on this case and looks like we are on the winning side, as you would expect and hope from your government, that they would not censor the speech of those who are pro-life or those who are have any political leanings, as long as they're not carrying out violence or anything like that in these places. You can have the freedom of speech to say what you want. These were not profane. These were not graphically violent. These were just beanies, blue beanies, if you're, you know, that just said pro-life. That's it. But that was enough to cause a whole stir. We were able to take it to court, still fighting for it. The case continues, as Will said. And we don't do that for free without your support. This show doesn't happen without your support. And how does that work? Well, right now we're in the middle of our matching challenge for the month of March. I know it's spring break. You're thinking about, you know, maybe you're like President Trump and you're like thinking of the sunshines and the beaches. We all are. I know I am. But the work continues. And we really could use your support right now. All you need to do is go to aclj.org. You don't have to do anything extra. Just make a donation. And at that point, it essentially unlocks a matching donation. There's already a group of donors ready. And they are ready to match any donation that comes in the month of March. So whether, and look, this the backbone of our organization. I've said this before. I want to say it again. Is not multi-million dollar donors who come and fund this whole thing. Sure, there are great, large donors that do help. But that is not the backbone. This runs on $10, $25, $40, $50 donations. That's how all of this happens. And I know I say all of this, you can think we're in like a closet somewhere. If you could turn around and see, we are in a massive multimedia facility. We have offices in Washington, D.C. and around the world fighting for you and fighting for your rights. So we ask you to give a donation during this month of March. I know it's tough. I know it's a tough time. I know it's economically scary when banks are collapsing and all this stuff is happening. But you have $5, we could really appreciate it even. Go to aclj.org, make that donation today. Phone lines are completely jammed right now, which I haven't been able to say in a long time. You know what? A lot of you guys watch digitally now, which I love. Most of you are not, you know, sitting there calling in. A lot of you are watching on Rumble or YouTube or Facebook. And right now, if you are watching on one of those outlets, I'm going to ask you to do one thing because the phone lines are jammed. I'm going to ask you to do something that's absolutely free, but really does help us. If you're watching on Rumble, click that follow button. It's essentially subscribing. Follow. We do this show Monday through Friday every day. If you're watching it right now live, you'll see it within this hour every day, Monday through Friday. If you are on Facebook, if you are on YouTube, follow, like, subscribe. You know what to do. I don't have to walk you through all of this. You know what to do. Hit the bell. Do that whole thing. That really helps get the word out there because this is a fully independent broadcast. There is no big network behind us pushing this broadcast. This is fully independent. No one's telling us what we have to say or can say or can't say. The only thing maybe deciding what we can and can't say is just because the first or because the show also is aired on 1,000 radio stations. So sure, there are things that we can't say because the FCC, there are things we probably wouldn't say to begin with. But there are no, there's no, you know, corporate overlord. And with that, we're a fully independent broadcast. And we can only do that with your support by liking, sharing, and of course, any donations that come in at aclj.org. Coming up in the next segment, we'll reset a bit and we're going to start taking these phone calls and talk a bit more, not only about the work of the ACLJ, but go back to our discussion because everyone's asking about it. Of this sort of Trump v. DeSantis v. Biden. Where should your attention go? Is it too early? Is the infighting ridiculous? Do you like it? Do you not like it? I'm starting to finally see some people on both sides kind of starting to argue it out in the comments. I'm trying to monitor it while we're doing this broadcast. We have one line open actually right now. So you know what? This is your chance. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. 3110. If you are listening on terrestrial radio and you don't get the next half hour, we are broadcasting live right now. Turn off your radio, go to Rumble right now, or go to aclj.org. We are broadcasting uncensored and unfiltered on aclj.org. Donations right now matched in the month of March. We'll be right back with another half hour.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your calls. If you're just joining us right now, we are talking about sort of the very beginning conversations that are starting to happen, that are starting to get a bit mudslingy with Donald Trump taking aim at Governor Ron DeSantis. Not Joe Biden, not the Democrats currently maybe in control right now and doing some damage to our country. We're talking about one of the most popular governors in the country and maybe one of the most popular potential people running for president. We have some sound from Donald Trump, and I think we should probably play that to reset it, Will.
Right.
Should we start with the first one? Where you want to go?
Yeah, actually, I want to play this one because this kind of plays into the very much a pattern and style that President Trump has, where he's able to get little things to stick to people. And even the Ron DeSantis line he's using, that gets stuck in your head and is going to be something that could diminish the stock of DeSantis a little bit. But this is another, it's not as nasty of an attack as some of the others, but it is something that a label that could get stuck to Ron DeSantis. And we're going to see how it plays out. Let's play bite number seven.
And to be honest with you, Ron reminds me a lot of Mitt Romney. So I don't think you're going to be doing so well here, but we're going to find out. But those are the facts. But I'm proud to say, the final numbers just came out, and the primary elections, 98.6% of the people that I endorsed in the elections, in the primaries, won. Think of it, 98, like your temperature.
So he,
98.6, like your temperature. It's a good way to remember it.
He's able to throw a little bit of mud, not terrible. But
I mean, I don't know. Calling people Mitt Romney in this age is not great.
Right, but it's a political comparison rather than just name calling.
Though I guarantee you, 99% of the people that voted for Donald Trump probably voted for Mitt Romney.
That's also maybe 90% assessment. But then he also turns it back and tries to talk about the history of the primaries, which a lot of political pundits have been trying to say Donald Trump's stock has diminished because the midterm election, rather.
Oh, it's all planned.
Right. But that he's saying, hey, no, actually, the people I endorse, 98.6, like your temperature, you'll remember that forever now.
Yeah, exactly.
That stat is connected to your body temperature of 98.6.
Yeah, he's good at that.
And therefore, he's saying, I actually had a successful track record in the midterm elections.
Yeah. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go, because some of you guys have been on hold for almost a half an hour, so I appreciate you waiting. Let's go to Jerry in PA, line two. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, guys. I participated in Trump's campaign in 2020. I volunteered, and he won big in my county of Mercer County, Pennsylvania. But I have to say, I'm very disappointed in him so far. I don't like this mudslinging that he's doing. And not only that, and I hate what they did to him, the Democrats, the radical left, the media, and the big tech companies. They demonized him to such an extent that there are just millions of people who will never vote for him. He is wounded. And if he does get the nomination from the Republican Party, I'm afraid he'll lose in a big landslide loss to the Democrats. So I have to say that I hope somehow I guess he is going to run, but I hope he doesn't make it. I hope that somebody else, probably Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
I hope he may. Not only that, I saw a speech by Mike Pence. And he's pretty bitter about what he went through, he and his family, on January 6th. And, I think he's just too badly wounded. And the left has managed to brainwash and indoctrinate enough people that he can't win anymore.
This is interesting, Jerry, and I appreciate your call. And I know a lot of people share, a lot of people disagree with your opinion. But that's important. We have, hopefully all sides call in. What is interesting, Will, is the calls that have come in, Pennsylvania, California, New York, a lot of states. Right now, there's not a state, a person who called in right now, where Trump won. See you for this last election.
Right.
So you have people that are also a bit concerned and a bit bitter because they saw what happened in the last election.
They don't want to repeat history.
Right. And they know that though his county won, they didn't see a statewide victory. In some of those states, obviously New York and California are going to be very hard to ever win as a Republican. But Pennsylvania is always one of those sort of out there, even if it's a red herring. Hey, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Continuing this discussion, heading into the next segment, taking a lot of your calls. If you're on hold, please wait. I'll get to you coming up. We're going to have a lot of topics to cover today. We've talked about some of them. We've talked about some of our wins. We've talked about what's moving on. We're going to take some of those calls related to that. But most of you, I know, are calling in to weigh in on your thoughts on Donald Trump taking some big swipes at Ron DeSantis over the last day or so. We're going to take those calls. We have to. Thousands of you are watching. Thousands of you are listening right now. And I know that's what's on your mind. However, I don't want to lose sight of some of the work we're doing at the ACLJ. It's easy to get caught up in politics. Politics very important. However, what's more important is you and your free speech and your rights. And that is something that here at the ACLJ, we take very seriously. And you may remember there was a case just a few months ago, started in January during the March for Life. We talked about it. And it's not necessarily a win, but there has been progress that has been made. We have a call coming in about it. Holiday is calling from the state of Georgia, my home state. Holiday, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for having me. You guys are fantastic. I'm so glad that you guys are updating on the pro-life people that got accosted in Washington. I'm very glad that you guys are keeping up with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Holiday. And for everyone else listening as well, this was the case where the security guard, as they were headed towards the bus, was threatening to write them up, was saying things like, y'all just made my day.
Yeah.
And you have this image of them like y'all just made my day. Like, oh, this made my day. I'm going to get to harass some kids.
Yeah, a bunch of four-letter words we can't say on the radio.
Yes.
Nor would we, for that matter, even not on the radio. But yeah, we did have an update on that, and that was that there is a preliminary injunction, and they are saying
order
that,
in that yes.
Yeah, the Smithsonian is saying, yeah, we kind of agree, we're going to say from now on, you can't censor people's freedom of speech when it comes to religious or political issues, as long as they're not causing us, they're not protest, even if they're protesting, but they're not, violent or anything happening right now. These were legitimately just kids and their chaperones and adults that are related to this group, wearing blue pro-life beanies. That was it. We took it to court. It's going to continue on in court. We'd like to see this enshrined in the law, but for now, there is very positive movement. We couldn't do that without the support of our ACLJ donors, supporters, our listeners, really people like you. It sounds like PBS with viewers like you, but it's true because we're getting the work done. We're actually out there doing things. You may hear a lot of other commentators, and I don't want to take any swipes. I'm not going to be Donald Trump taking swipes around to DeSantis. I'm not going to take swipes at other commentators. There are some incredible commentators out there, but they're commentators. That's not what we are here. We produce this show as a very small part of a giant apparatus that really takes it to Washington, D.C., supports your rights on Capitol Hill and in your local and state government. However you need us, we are there absolutely at no cost. But the only way that works, because as you can tell, we have some of the highest tech production people. We have some of the best production people on the planet. We have the best lawyers in the country. You can't do that for nothing. You can't do that for free. We can't do that without your support. So any donation you make right now in the month of March, it is effectively doubled. So go to ACLJ.org, make your donation today. And thank you to everyone who listens and watches our broadcast. It means the world to us that you are here with us each and every day. We are going to take some more phone calls. This obviously goes back a little bit to the Trump-DeSantis conversation. And you may say, Logan, we don't have a whole lot of sound from Governor Ron DeSantis. Well, he hasn't really responded. There have been a couple times he's made some very light sort of responses, but there are almost no responses.
Yeah, and we will play here in a little bit something from Ron DeSantis when he was in Iowa, but his was much more traditional, not campaign speech because it's not a campaign yet, but much more, I'm going out and I'm talking about policies, I'm talking about these things. There was that previous bite months ago where he said scoreboard or something to that, like look at the scoreboard. But all in all, he has kind of remained above that in some degree, which shows, one, that President Trump sees him as the only real challenger at this point to him, but also that Ron DeSantis, because he is not in the race, is able to stay out of some of those direct attacks, which I think long term, at least until he does get in, not having to respond is helpful for him. But I did want to go over some of the poll numbers here real quick, because polling companies are still polling and asking the name Ron DeSantis, even though he is not officially in the race. And they're a little bit all over the map, but CNN has a poll that just ended on March 12th, so just 2 days ago, that has Ron DeSantis up 2 against President Trump. It's a 39-37. But then just the week before that, you see a poll that has President Trump up 29 yep. over Ron DeSantis. And then there's everything in between that, from Ron DeSantis being up 2 to Trump being up 2, and then as big as 30 points. So I don't know that polls are something that we can really look to as reliable right now. Also, with the way that the primary season works, going to different states to win delegates, it doesn't necessarily matter as much if you're just nationally polling above someone or the other. You can still win it if you were winning states and winning the delegates. Yeah. However, there's still a lot of time, and some of these candidates have not even declared.
Yeah, what's really interesting right now is all of the callers that have called in currently on hold are either from California or New York. You know, states that are fairly, I wouldn't say impossible, but improbable that a conservative would win. But I know you're probably feeling it the most. You're probably the most frustrated with the Biden administration right now because you're getting really the heavier version of this. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Bobby, who is calling in New York. Bobby, you're on the air.
Hi, Niagara Falls on the American side. Hi, Logan.
All right. Sounds good.
Hi, guys. I'm worried that this whole thing is going to hurt Ron DeSantis's political career personally. And what bugs me is that Trump and DeSantis are united in the same cause. So I don't think that he should be criticizing DeSantis for that reason. And I just wish, I know it can't happen, but I wish your dad maybe would put a bug in Donald Trump's ear so that Donald Trump would talk about his accomplishments rather than criticizing somebody who believes in the same cause that Donald Trump does. And thanks for taking my call.
No, Bobby, thanks for holding. Held for a half hour. I appreciate it. And Bobby, I don't disagree with you. I actually think one of the faults of the 2020 campaign from the Trump administration, I said this whole time, was not celebrating a lot of the victories that were happening. There was still a lot of pot shots. There was still a lot of anger being thrown. And this was at a point where you had the Abraham Accords, you had some big moments that had happened, Supreme Court justices, which obviously we all see paid off in a massive way this year, in the last 12 months. But he didn't run on that a lot of times. For some reason, the political machine doesn't think Americans care about that. They don't think they care about the Supreme Court. It's all until maybe this year, until maybe this time the Democrats cared. But they never bring it up. They don't bring up peace in the Middle East that was essentially solved during the Trump administration. I don't think they mentioned the Abraham Accords once during the debates. I don't disagree with you that that's where we should be focused right now is, do you feel better than you did 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I think a lot of Americans don't feel that way. We've seen a nation on the brink of a world war. We have seen your gas prices soar. We've seen all of these problems that have keep coming up. We see Chinese balloons flying over spying on us. We're having to shoot them down with missiles. I don't feel that way. I don't think a lot of people do as well. And I think we have a call coming in from Rhonda in California who feels similarly. Rhonda, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I basically agree with what a lot of the callers are saying. I just feel Trump is being very unwise to focus on DeSantis, who isn't even announced that he's running for president, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just colossal waste of time to me. He should be tooting his own horn, talking about all the great accomplishments. To me, as an African-American woman living in Southern California, Biden has proven that Trump's policies were better.
Yeah. Rhonda, I think that's an interesting statement. Look, I'll be honest, I'm pretty surprised by the amount of people that have called in who are not supporting President Trump in these kind of remarks. Now, obviously, there are comments. I'm looking at the thousands of you who are commenting. This is just a handful of calls that come in at one time. But all of them have very similar points of view. Very few have been, if you are one of those people who are like, you know, tried and true, and you believe that this is the right move that President Trump should be making, I do want to hear from you, by the way. I'm going to ask you to call in right now at 1-800-684-3110, because I don't want it just to be once. I don't want this to be the bashing, you know, Trump hour. That's not what I wanted from this. I wanted an actual discussion of, is this what you want as the American people? Overwhelmingly right now, the answer is no, according to the comments and the calls. But I would love to hear from you, Sil. We got one segment coming up, but we will take more comments at 1-800-684-3110.
And one thing I would say to Rhonda's call is that, yes, one, we aren't playing every bit of President Trump's speech. So he is talking about good things that he has done as well. We are kind of keying off on the most newsworthy because it's exciting as we head into the election season. But I would never count out the political strategy of President Trump, because he's shown that he's very good and makes a lot of the right decisions when it comes to who to attack when. I do think that attacking President Biden could be a very good strategy for a politician, but there's some reason that Donald Trump is wanting to attack Ron DeSantis right now. I don't know what the insight on that is.
Maybe it's to exhaust us.
Right.
Maybe to the point where you get sick of Ron DeSantis.
I wouldn't count him out when he does that, because he knows what he's doing.
Yep. All right. Phone lines are lighting up. We'll take as many of these as we can. Coming back, we are in that middle of that matching challenge. You heard it before. You'll hear it again. ACLJ.org. All donations made in the month of March are effectively doubled by another great group of donors ready to match your donation. We'll be right back with final segment of Secula. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take a lot of your calls coming up, but we did have a bite, Will, from Ron DeSantis, and a lot of people said, you know, there's a lot of comments you're playing from President Trump. You're not necessarily playing any from Ron DeSantis.
That's right. So this was on his speech at the end of last week when he was in Davenport, Iowa, and this is basically kind of the theme that he's going around the country with these speeches that he's been giving. So let's go ahead and take a listen to Bite 22.
So we say very clearly in the state of Florida, we will fight the woke in the legislature. We will fight the woke in education. We will fight the woke in the businesses. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Our state is where woke goes to die.
Yeah, you kind of heard that rhetoric over and over again.
Right. That's been his kind of theme.
I am a little worried about that, in the sense of we are so early, and I feel like I've heard woke, where woke goes to die now. I feel 100 times already, and you know he's not running for president yet. But I understand that that's what people want to hear right now.
Maybe but it was also a part of his gubernatorial campaign.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that is carryover, and he's able to tout that record. He's able to showcase his book as well. And that is a lot of what these are, at least on the surface, what these speeches and this tour is doing, even though the groundwork of a campaign is also there as well. The other thing of why he's probably not announced already is, one, having to still decide if that's 100% the direction he wants to go. Yeah. But as of right now, and the Florida legislature could change this, he would have to resign as governor to run for the national office. And so that's where there is this.
So it's not like a
caveat.
Senator. It's not like a senator running, which
right.
Can
and
happen.
This is a specific Florida law. It's okay. Not too
interesting.
It's not everywhere.
I didn't know that either.
Right. So if he were to the governor, because in the law they have already, they would want focusing on being the governor of the state. And that's also some of the criticism people had given to Ron DeSantis was, you just got elected, and they tried to play that during the campaign. Charlie Crist, who there was a nod to from President Trump earlier.
I think that's a valid complaint, which is you just spent 2 years essentially running for governor again.
For re-election, yeah.
A re-election, you just got it. Now you're going to abandon your state. I don't think that's an invalid complaint from the state of Florida, especially when he's so popular. Now, you'd assume that if this happens again, and whoever would replace him would be someone of similar interest. And I think there's some great people in the state of Florida who are in politics already. Someone like a Jimmy Patronis, who's been on this broadcast before, that I really think is great and could do some really great things for the state. However, now I was unaware of that. I think a lot of people are, that for him to make that call, he has to step down immediately. Yeah, that kind of throws it off. I don't know if I'm Ron DeSantis, I'm running for president.
Well, but that being said, the legislature has signaled that they would be amenable to changing that law. Okay. I don't know the timeline on that per se, but I think that right now at least is the calculus of why he's not announced.
Yeah.
But he also may not fully know.
He may
still be wondering, is this the right move at this time? Because he's young. He's still very popular. If he can finish out a second term and have even higher stock, it could play. The long play could be better for him.
Let's continue on. Cecilia, we're going to go to you in California. You've been on hold for 40 minutes. I appreciate it. That's a long time on hold. I'm glad we don't still pay for minutes the way we used to. Cecilia, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say, we already know Trump is the best at policy. He's already proven himself executing policy, so we don't need to really distrust him in that. You know, he's all about loyalty, by the way, and this is not the time for softness. Trump is a package deal, a guy from Queens, New York. He's a fighter. DeSantis is a fantastic governor. He needs to keep holding the fort down there in Florida and fight for the Floridians. And maybe now is not his time. But Trump, we need toughness. He threw a monkey wrench in the globalist.
Oh, Cecilia, I don't know what happened, but I think we got your point. I feel bad for her. I don't even know how you get that dial tone anymore.
Phone just dropped.
Just dropped.
Yeah.
So Cecilia, I'm sorry. If you can call back, maybe we can get you back on.
We only
Great call. Great call. At least you had a different point of view, and I was really appreciating, really enjoying your call. I'm sorry. But look, there are a lot of people that feel that way. As Will said, with the Florida election just happening, I'm sure there's a lot of Floridians that feel that way that don't want to see him go just yet. They may want him to be president at some point, but maybe not now. Let's continue on with the phone calls. Let's go to Richard calling in California on line four. Richard, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. To comment on the last caller too, so I'm in Southern California, which the Dems are losing a lot of popularity here right now. But also, you know, being a minority, being a Christian and Republican, I have to say this. You know, I agree with Trump. I voted for him the first time in 2020. I didn't vote for him because of his looks or his attitude. I vote for him for his policies. But you got to have some class. You know, we're marching in the same direction. And if you got to march in the same direction, you march in step. But he's showing us that he wants to run over whoever he needs to march in that same direction. And I think as a Republican Party, we need to have some class and show that that's the way we need to run our country, a country that's running order. But he's showing opposite. So I don't think he's going to be doing too good. He needs to stop it. He's going a little too far. And also what he's kind of saying about our foreign policies and what he's saying about the party, he's going too far on it. He needs to pull it back a little bit. But I really would like to see him have some more class when it comes to this kind of situations.
Yeah, Richard, that seems to be the prevailing message from a lot of our callers and commenters today, which is, yeah, I supported him. Yeah, I voted for him. And I would potentially do it again. I mean, up against Joe Biden, I think a lot of people would still vote for him. But they don't care for this rhetoric, and maybe we're heading into a different time. It doesn't feel that way because Washington, D.C., and look, if you're watching a lot of conservative broadcasts, there's a lot of anger there. There's a lot of fear there. They're not preaching hope. They're not preaching a message that's really that positive. Maybe we need that. Maybe we need some people who can do that. Maybe you find hope in outside. Maybe you find it in a Tim Scott or a Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis also kind of, the way he talks is very Trump-like in terms of the way he talks about sort of fear and the way he talks about the woke. And there is a bit of, it's not all positive. It doesn't all have to be positive. We know the world's not positive, but it's not exactly that same thing. But appreciate your call. Thank you. Let's go to Thomas to wrap up our calls today in California as well. Thanks for California, New York. Reppin', you're on the air.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks,
I think Donald Trump is doing exactly what he needs to do. The fake news is focusing on this back and forth between Trump and DeSantis and not focusing on his education plan and national security and American manufacturing. So I think that Donald Trump knows what he's doing, and these little things are not to divide the Republican Party, but to keep everybody else at bay. And the reality is that to drain the swamp, that's a long continuing process, and that's what we need to do.
All right. Well, Thomas, thank you for your opinion on that. I appreciate you calling in. I think some people feel that way. Some people don't. Some people want to put more stake in going after Biden and the administration that's currently in office right now and saying, here's the negative. Maybe you're right. Maybe he gets more press by just going after DeSantis. You're probably right. I mean, that's the news story. That's the lead that we had today. If he just said Biden bad, we probably wouldn't be doing the show. So maybe you're right. Maybe.
Well, and to his point as well, we did see on MSNBC this morning that they were covering.
How dare you watch MSNBC? Comments.
No, well, we have CNN,
traitor.
Fox, and MSNBC all up so we can monitor it.
I'm just kidding. I just want to throw you on the bus.
We didn't have the volume up.
This guy, he watches MSNBC, told people on the radio, he said it, I heard him say it.
But we did see that they were covering these comments. Yeah. And to Thomas's point, how many other times are they covering a speech of President Trump right now? They're avoiding those.
Yeah.
And so they were able to play and get his message out a little bit.
You're right.
It's not a bad chess move.
Hey, wrapping up the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thousands of you are watching right now. I'm going to ask you all right now in unison, click that follow button here if you're on Rumble. Click that subscribe button if you're on YouTube. Do that right now. I would appreciate it. But there's even more you can do. You can support the work of the ACLJ. Keep this broadcast going. Keep all our amazing work on Capitol Hill. Support those pro-life kids when they just show up at a museum and get told to get out. But no, we're there for them. Go to ACLJ.org, middle of our matching challenge. All donations doubled at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.